Blog Talk Radio.
Australia Day, Australia Week, and of course, having been a correspondent down there, we'll probably have something special on Friday, the last day of January. Among the birthdays today, we have the guy who started the Swedenborg religion. You don't see too much of this. It's a thing that's angelic. I don't understand it. A lot of these religions. Also, Geoffrey Amherst, he was an English lord in the 17th century pre-American Revolution. In fact, you named a college after him in Massachusetts. Geoffrey Amherst was a military official who decided he was probably the first military person in American history to do ethnic cleansing. What he did was he decided that he had to get rid of some of the Indians, so he gave them blankets filled with smallpox. So I guess we could call that the first example a war crime against Native American Indians, ethnic cleansing in West America. Thomas Paine, the author of Common Sense and many other pamphlets, which ignited was the intellectual ignition for the American Revolution. Well, of course, there were other writers as well. And the father of Robert E. Lee, Harry Lighthorse Henry Lee, he fought in the American Revolution. After the American Revolution, we had a Secretary of Treasury, a guy named Elbert, and, of course, the 25th President of the United States from Ohio, which is the other state, which is known as the mother of presidents. Some people have other ideas about Ohio, as well as Virginia. And he, William McKinley, served in the American Civil War. He conducted his campaign off the porch in his hometown, and his campaign manager was a very astute guy named Thomas Hanna. And here is his rare audio recording from our archives.
My fellow citizens, recent events have imposed upon the patriotic people of this country a responsibility and a duty greater than that of any since the Civil War. Then it was a struggle to preserve the government of the United States. Now it is a struggle to preserve the financial honor of the government. Our creed embraces an honest dollar, an untarnished national credit, adequate revenues for the uses of the government, protection to labor and industry, preservation of the home market, and reciprocity which will extend our foreign markets. platform we stand and submit its declaration to the sober and considerate judgment of the American people.
It's a rare audio recording of William McKinley, who was also assassinated. Now, I ran into someone here in San Francisco whose grandmother was present in, I think it was Buffalo, New York, where an assassin shot Tom McKinley. And, of course, she didn't know. I said, well, did you talk to her about it? But he just said that all he knew that she was there, a young girl at the time. And, of course, they gave us Teddy Roosevelt, that cowboy, as he was referred to, and it was Roosevelt. Teddy was the cousin of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They were both from New York, and of course, Teddy, one of Teddy's sons, served in Normandy. In fact, you see the movie The Longest Day. Also, Kermit Roosevelt was involved with the overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran and caused a lot of these problems. They didn't think this thing out, where Mossadegh wanted to nationalize British oil interests in the Gulf. And, of course, we've had the ongoing problems with these Iranians. And when you mix politics with religion, it's always a problem, no matter what religion is involved. Among the other birthdays today, we have Anton Chekhov, great Russian writer. Great. And Romain Rolland, another French writer. And on the Spanish writer, Vicente Blasco Ibáñez, who wrote The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which was a 60s movie, quite interesting, starring Glenn Ford and I think the son of the conductor, Carl Boehm. And I think Yvette Nanmu and I forgot the other guy. Interesting movie. Soundtrack was written by Andre Previn. The great, he's the son of the John David Rockefeller. John David Rockefeller had one son, and John Rockefeller had five sons, of which one was Sir Nelson, who was vice president of the United States in the Ford administration, and also another one, David Rockefeller, who was the banker, and then another one who became, this other one was, and one was a patron of the arts. Great composers, three of them today, Habergal Brian and Frederick Delius. Delius became blind and was only discovered at his death, near his death, 20 years. He composed in his head, and his scribe was Eric Fenby, who wrote down all the notes that and the manuscript that Delius had dictated to him. Quite a feat, beautiful music. Sir Thomas Beecham called Delius the last English apostle of love, of beauty and love, something like that. Another great English composer, massive symphonies, Habergal Brian, born on this day. A Danish composer, Carl Nielsen, probably the most famous of all the Danish classical composers. And, of course, we had other people. Barney Oldfield, who was quite the racecraft driver, and we had W.C. Fields, the comedian. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to find in our archives. We'll play that Friday. And, of course, one of the great politicians of our time, black politician, light-skinned black in New York. He had quite a reputation in Congress. He did get a lot of the legislation through during the Johnson administration. He also was a minister in Harlem, and he spent a lot of his time on Bimini. A lot of people begrudged him on this. And here is Adam Clayton Powell during the 60s talking about black power.
I went to St. Louis, Missouri the other day at Black Panthers from all over the country. No one knew about it at all. They had machine guns, recoilless rifles, grease guns, Lugas, 25 of them, all armed. And the chief of police met me at the airport when I arrived, and they were there, right there at the steps. He said, you were violating the law. Yeah, we're violating the law. He said, we're tired of our white and black leaders, Jackie and Martin and Bobby, being killed. We're going to protect this man while he's here. And they didn't arrest one of them. Because they said, if you arrest one, then someone's going to die because we are ready to kill. Black power means black dignity. Just as surely as you're proud to be white, we're proud to be black. Black is beautiful, baby. It's pretty. I always say to my brothers, I say, baby, don't worry about the white chicks. We got everything from chalk to charcoal in our own race. You know, see? Black is beautiful. Black is beautiful. Black power means dignity. It means we're going to walk side by side with you or through you. We're going to be with dignity and integrity. We don't want any more than you have, and we're not going to accept any less than you have. That's Black power.
Adam was quite the preacher, even in Congress. Now, I think this is appropriate. Mahalia Jackson was a great gospel singer out of Chicago. And I think a lot of people thought this song was very appropriate to spiritual power. Let's put it that way.
He's got the whole mind. And his head is not his whole.
Birthdays today. We have Alan Dumont. He's the guy that invented the Castro Ray. We have Bernard Herrmann, still around, who did the soundtrack for Citizen Kane. He worked for CBS in their music studios. And a great actor, muscle-bound guy, believe it, from Tennessee, I believe, Victor Mature, or Victor, somebody called him Manure at one time. The guy who wrote Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, Leslie Bruce, British actor. We had Germaine Greer, the Australian feminist, Tom Selleck, who played, I think, one of the TV drama shows, and Oprah Winfrey, her birthday today. Among the deaths today, we wouldn't be missed when the news came out. George III died in 1820. He was blamed for starting the American Revolution, all the abuses, the tea tax and all that. This guy was brought over to Russia by Peter the Great, or his ancestor was Alexander Pushkin. He was African-Russian. He had quite a few descendants. He died young, one of Russia's greatest poets in their history. A controversial British field marshal, Douglas Haig, who was involved in the slaughter in the trenches during World War I, a Greek dictator, Greece was in bed with the Germans, the Nazis, and the Italians. This dictator was named Metaxas. It's also a name of a Greek brandy, I think. Anyway, Metaxas committed suicide, I think, in 1941. This is a name that comes up in journalism all the time. This guy was from the hinterlands. William Allen White, who was the editor, publisher of the Kansas Emporia newspaper, and he wrote some interesting columns. Harry Hopkins died on this day, and he was one of the messenger boys to England for Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Alan Ladd, who didn't live very long, great actor, and he's probably best remembered for his role, a portrayal in Shane, great movie. One of the great British historians, Basil H. Littlehart, died on this day, and then Jimmy Durante, Zoom, Dick of Doom, the Schnooze, as he was called. Among the events today, of course, today is Australia Day, and this was the day that Australia was discovered, I think, by Captain Cook. And, of course, one of the reasons Australia became a useful colony to Britain was after the British lost the American Revolution, they were dumping their political flotsam and their prisoners and their debtors and their the people from the Battle of Culloden were dumping them in America and in the Caribbean. In fact, you see some light-skinned Caribbean people on British, like Bermuda, the Bahamas, and these are the descendants of people who were transported from Scotland and from the prisons in Britain. And, of course, they married into or screwed around with the natives, the blacks, and you see the light skin or coffee au lait people even today. Colin Powell is believed to be descended from some of those people, although he was born in New York. Among the other events that we had, that was the last of the deaths. Among the other events, now this is very interesting. Andrew Jackson in 1834 was the first president to use troops to break a strike. Now this is interesting. What Obama did yesterday, claiming that he had the power to, in effect, use the pen for executive orders. I don't know if he's been reading American history. He's not known as a scholar, contrary to all that propaganda. But Andrew Jackson was challenged by ordering the removal of Indians from Florida. And the Supreme Court ruled against him. And I think the Chief Justice was Roger Taney, who's the first Catholic to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court bench. The current guy, we've had one other Catholic, and that is Roberts. Anyway, Andrew Jackson said the Supreme Court's made their decision, now let them enforce it. And this is sounds like maybe one of Obama's speechwriters has been reading up on presidential history and conduct of some of these guys. Also around this time, 1850, Henry Clay, who was known as the Great Compromiser, he came with the Missouri Compromise, where slavery could not be extended beyond a certain point. And I'm talking about slavery and bleeding Kansas and the Emporia and William Allen White. In 1861, of course, there was Quantrill's Raiders, a lot of problems in Kansas, a lot of violence. Kansas became the 31st state. In 1879, the battlefield where Custer died and the 7th Cavalry became a monument, a national monument, and of course I was there at night, and I can tell you I've been to Verdun also at night, and other people have had a similar experience when they've been to battlefields at night to hear the moans and the cries and the dying. Quite interesting, although Custer had it coming. He disobeyed orders and he was very rash. In fact, during the Civil War, Custer was known as a horse killer. He did these very rash charges toward the Confederate lines, and it killed a lot of horses. And this is where we get, this is where we get what is called quitam in federal law, which means that anybody that does business with the government and cheats the government can be sued by either a civilian who has to use a lawyer or the government through the U.S. Attorney Department of Justice sues that contractor. And what happens was there was a lot of many horses were slaughtered during the American Civil War. And, of course, Lincoln was paying premium prices to get more horses for his cavalry in the Union Army. And a lot of people were selling defective horse flesh to the federal government. Quite interesting. Also on this day, we had those of you who look at the big Mercedes. We've seen more and more of them, and that's an interesting case. Carl Benz invented the first successful gasoline-powered car in Germany. And then, of course, Mercedes-Benz, they adopted that name of one of the daughters. And there was Benz, and, of course, Mercedes is one of the big automobile corporations in the world. Now, the reason you're seeing so many of these German cars and also Japanese cars is that they can't afford to sell them. So what they're doing is these dealers, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Mercedes, even the Japanese corporations, Toyota and Datsun, Nissan, are leasing these cars for $200 to $500, $600 a month. So after 2-3 years, they turned them back, the drivers, and they couldn't afford to pay $50,000, $60,000, $75,000 for these vehicles unless they were rich doctors or lawyers, whatever. So that's why you're seeing so many of them, and that's why we've seen so many reckless drivers. These are very powerful cars. Mercedes and Audi made military vehicles for the Nazis in World War II. And, of course, I keep telling people that the Volkswagens you see today, the Porsches you see today, even the Beamers, the BMWs, these are the ones we are seeing on the roads and, today, and the highways, are not the lower-powered cars that your father or your grandfather or your brothers or your uncles drove back in the 50s and 60s. These are like these are the products of companies that made weapons, military motorized weapons of mass destruction, and they should be telling people to drive responsibly, which they are not. We'll get into that another day. Also, a famous scientist, he worked in Chicago, German ethnicity. You know, there are more Germans, that is the biggest ethnic group that's emigrated to America. It wasn't the Irish, it wasn't the English, it was the Germans, it wasn't the Poles. In 1896, this famous doctor, Emil Gruber, was the first doctor to use radiation to try to treat breast cancer. He lost his hand. He lived in Chicago most of his life, did a lot of research. He was a very ethical doctor, unlike some of the doctors around today, and we'll get into some of them. Now, there are a lot of these doctors, or a growing number of these doctors, in the same category as Mengele and Ishii. Ishii was a Japanese doctor who did horrible experiments on Chinese and American Russian prisoners of war in Mukden in Manchuria near the end of World War II. 1906, the American Baseball League was founded. 1919, we had the Wilson administration, although Wilson vetoed it, but it was passed because the boys were in Europe, as I was told from one of the survivors of that period. Prohibition became legal and one of the worst laws ever put on the American books. In 1929, this is one of the wealthiest and best-run nonprofit organizations, a true nonprofit. The Seeing Eye Dog Foundation was set up, and they're here in San Rafael, California. And also in 1979, President Carter commuted Patty Hearst's 7-year conviction to 2 years, and she married one of her, one of the deputy U.S. Marshals. And Patty Hearst was, of course, a descendant of the famous William Randolph Hearst family. And now this is interesting. The first Roman Catholic saint to be canonized, as we say, in 993, a bishop from Augsburg, Germany, his name was Ulrich. I don't know too much more about him. And then among the other events today, this week, this is part of that bicycle anarchy, or what some people are calling two-wheel kamikazes. It's not only happening in San Francisco, where at least two people have been killed and many more have been injured. You don't get all the reports. I was one knocked down by a bicyclist, also my lady, which cost us over $2,000 in medical bills and x-rays and ambulance service. This guy named Kello, 23-year-old punk, was drunk. He was driving his bicycle with somebody on the handlebars, and he hit another car and got into a argument or whatever, and took off, lost his wallet, or one of them lost their wallets in the process. The police went after him, a small woman cop, about 5'1". He tried to strangle her when they tried to arrest him. So he was arrested with a $50,000 bail imposed. This was in Denver, Colorado. We don't know the current status of this case. We still don't know the other case, Dale O'Bannon in Cottage Grove, Oregon, where he was stopped for violating Oregon's rules of the road, and he tried to murder the cop. These things go on. These people are totally out of control, and it's time to rein them in. They do not obey the rules of the road. They do not have insurance. When they're stopped, they will not produce identification as required under California's rules of the road. So we'll be back Friday, the last day of the week of January, and we'll have some special music, and we'll hopefully have those other audio excerpts from our archives. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the sound?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet 'em.
Little trades, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
This is Peter Paul Mazzola. We'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, and have a warm, safe remainder of the week. And don't place too many bets on either the Seahawks or Denver. Stay safe. Take care. Good night.